B-Pod Studios.
It's pretty funny.
Have you read any of it?
I've seen many posts about it, and my friend sent me some clips from it and everything. So I haven't read the whole thing, but seen some clips from it, and it's pretty funny.
I highlighted one line from it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Left out. You know the hot take.
This stupid All-Star game.
He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen. Watch. React in real time. Toucher and Richer on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Second down snap to Brady. Drop back. He lobs it to the right side for Gronkowski. Has a step. Has a touchdown. Patriots. New England is back in the lead.
And the spike as he tickles to the sideline with 31 ticks left. And he said, send me up, boys. Get the protein bars out because the Patriots are back on top. What a throw by Brady. 22 yards as you get bump and run coverage. What are you kidding me, Pete Carroll? A linebacker, bump and run on a 6'6" tight end? All day long, baby. We'll take it. Rack him up.
985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I was expecting Zoic to tell me to snap into a Slim Jim at any moment.
He's
dude lost his voice. We have Adam Jones in this morning. Let's take Tyler on line one. What's up, Tyler? You're on Toucher and Rich. Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
I just quickly want to touch up on the Celtics game last night.
I'm sorry, what?
The Celtics game.
Celtics. Oh, the Celtics game. Okay. Oh, boy, your phone sucks. That's all right, Tyler. You said you wanted to talk about the Celtics game. All I can say is that after watching they lost four out of the last five.
Four in a row.
Four straight, yeah.
Four straight.
Four in a row. Two games behind Indiana with eight to go, and they have two meetings with the Pacers left.
Yeah, I just don't know why we need to even be watching these games when we were told by Kyrie Irving that none of this matters until the playoffs. The minute he said that, I mean, you heard me on the air about, mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Even before that whole Warriors thing. He was like, you know, it's all about the playoffs. I'm like, well, then why do I care what happens during this time?
They had another meeting. There was another meeting after the game last night.
Well, I mean, someone's got to say something to somebody. I don't know.
Well, they've been saying stuff to each other for months now.
By the way, Brad Stevens danced around calling it a meeting yesterday. Like, he was. So here's what I know is that during that Charlotte game, which. You know, every time you think you've seen the worst game of the year, they do something like the Charlotte game where they're up by how many points?
18. With 8 to go.
18 points with 8 minutes to go, and Charlotte goes on that massive run. And then afterwards, you sit there and wait. And every time that you think that Kyrie has figured it out and he has stopped throwing his own teammates under the bus, and now... He not only throws his teammates on the bus, but he seemed to throw Brad Stevens under the bus.
There wasn't any seeming about it. That's exactly what he did.
So here he was after that game, and this is something that, I mean, he can't get out of his own way.
Kemba Walker steps back.
Hang on, that's not the clip right there. Here he is. This is Kyrie Irving talking about Kemba Walker and how they just can't contain the guy.
It's one-on-one. I had pride, you know, down the stretch, try to come in and help as much as possible. We should have probably trapped him a little bit more like every other team does in the league, you know, but we didn't. So, tortures us every time we play him, so it's no surprise.
All right, so you crapped on everyone. Now you've now done the young guys, which he mentioned last night, and you've crapped on Brad Stevens. And, of course, Brad Stevens, when asked about it, is going to say what he goes, yeah, I should do a better job coaching. And to that, it's like Terry Rozier said it best. The personality of the team is the personality of Kyrie Irving on every game. He said that in that thing that he sat down with Chris Forsberg.
Yep.
And you know what? I hope to God, because he's the one who said it, that Kyrie Irving's personality, he wakes up and eats his cornflakes and takes his vitamins and he's happy and he's ready to play, because I don't even care what happens these next few games. They're not going to get out of the fifth seed or the fourth. They're somewhere, even if they go on a miracle run,
right,
the Pacers start, they're 4 or 5.
The only question is, are they home or at Indiana in the opening round? That's it.
That's all that matters. So you know what? All this stuff that happens, it doesn't make me feel good. I hate turning it on and watching crappy basketball. It pisses me off. So now I've just said, I don't even care about these games. I really don't. You said, Kyrie Irving, that this team is all about the playoffs. None of these games matter. I didn't even get mad when he said he was going to rest several games before the playoffs.
His exact words were, we're going to be fine in the playoffs. And the media said, why is that? And he said, because I'm here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
I'm taking his word for it.
All right.
If that's the case, great. Awesome.
And but by the way, that
but
happened.
If you come out and you fart your way into the playoffs like you did, like you've been playing the last several games, then you know what? I don't care if he stays here. It's almost like, okay, look at what happened with the Clippers. So think of the Clippers last year. Look at all the talent that they had on that team. But almost addition by subtraction, Doc Rivers gets rid of those superstars, and look, all of a sudden they're playing well.
Right.
Sometimes having superstars doesn't make your team better. Now, Kyrie Irving, on paper, when they got him, I'm like, this is it. This is the guy. This is your closer. However, if your team takes the personality of Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving's attitude can be, you know, pretty pissy, then I don't know if that's worth sticking him around or trying to get these young guys and turn them into something like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
It was interesting because Kyrie said that he was going to rest. Actually, it was the afternoon before I did the game in Philadelphia on Wednesday. And Brad Stevens was fine with it. But then second night of a back-to-back with Kyrie already stating he was going to take a couple of games off, he was out there and Horford wasn't.
Yeah,
I just found that a little strange.
Well, there's no chance he's playing against Cleveland, I would say, tomorrow night.
Probably not, right? But I mean, a guy you want to rest down the stretch was out there both nights of a back-to-back.
Well, maybe,
I found that a little weird.
Maybe if they would have taken care of business against Charlotte, he would have deserved a game off. But, you know, the way that they played in that Charlotte game, I think they knew if you're trying to catch Indiana, and unless you're just not being honest with yourself, you want to be at home in the opening round. It may not matter at the end of the day. I personally will pick Boston to beat Indiana either way, whether it's in Indy or here. But you'd rather be at home than not. And so after they dropped that game in Charlotte, maybe they said, hey, Kyrie, I know you're going to get a day here or some days coming up, but we need you in this one, because that was a gut punch of a loss. That was the worst loss of the year. You're right, Rich. We keep talking about, oh, well, it was the Clippers game where they blew a 28-point lead, or it was the Knicks game early on in the season, or there's been a million of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it? The Bulls loss where they were never competitive.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Right.
This one takes the cake. Up 18 with 8 minutes to go. That was a brutal, brutal loss. And on top of it, Kyrie throwing young teammates back under the bus. Wallach is right. That's unquestionably him throwing Brad under the bus. When, by the way, you don't even guard the point guard on the other team. They don't even ask you to guard him.
Right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, now you're still lecturing about the plan. If you're any good at defense, Kyrie, you could just be the one to guard Kemba Walker, but instead, it has to be Jason Tatum getting shaken down left and right in that game. And then he has the balls to come out after the game like, oh yeah, we should have trapped him, like every, you know, like every other team in the league does. It's just unbelievable.
Well,
with this guy.
Here's Brad Stevens talking about the because Brad Stevens apparently took longer than he ever has this season to come out and talk to the media. So you knew that there was some sort of thing going on behind the scenes. Here he is talking about it.
I listened, talked, and you know, there's frustration in there, but we got beat by a good team, and you know, I don't, you know, ultimately we don't need to ride the emotional roller coaster. We need to get a lot better. We've given up 115 or more in a lot of games here recently. Our defense has to improve dramatically if we're going to make a push to, you know, ultimately get what we want out of the next couple of months.
I thought the best thing Brad Stevens said yesterday, or at least the one that just stood out, was he said, quote, I've never been part of a team that's solely reliant on whether you make shots or not, and right now that's our deal. In other words, it's like everyone's just, they're, how many 3-point shots have they missed in the last like two games?
I mean, awful last night. They were 7 for 35 last night. And they were like 4 for 30 at one point.
And it's one of those things where everyone's trying to shoot themselves back into like some sort of rhythm where at some point, don't you just look at each other and go, let's go to the rim. This is not working. Let's try something different. And maybe that'll finally get some points on the board, because we are cold as you can get. Even Marcus Morris said yesterday that he has coaches from other teams going up to him and saying, what's going on with your team, man? Like, wanting to know why things aren't working. This should be working, and it's not. And to be quite honest, I don't care how big of a scholar you are of basketball, everyone's confused and no one can figure out. But all I do know is that I can't stand it when Kyrie Irving afterwards craps on his coach, craps on his players. Like, that is uncalled for.
Yep.
Your team might be sucking. You might get cold. You know, things might not go right. And you've seen teams do this before at the end of the season. They mentally take their foot off the gas. But the one thing you can control is not being an a-hole to the people that you work with in that locker room, because everyone knows that can't be good for morale for this team. So I of all the things, Kyrie just frustrates the hell out of me. He does. So you know what I'm doing? I'm pretending that I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to step back and go, so let's wait for the playoffs. Kyrie, back up your words.
Are you out on Kyrie? Like next year?
No. I'm not out. Okay. I want to see how he does in the playoffs. Because
you made the Clippers analogy and then maybe turning the team over to Jalen and Jason Tate. So I didn't know if I missed something in there.
It depends, because right now, this is like the final straw. So I'm taking him at his word.
Okay.
None of this matters, and it all changes in the playoffs. That's why I'm not out on him. However, if they get to the playoffs and they fart out another few games like they just did, then I'm out. Then it's like, I don't even care.
And that's just it. You're not sure what to expect. Much like all of the regular season, this team could get bounced by the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs, or they could go on a long run. No one's really sure. It could all magically come together, because as we all know, the talent's there. The question is, can they pull it all together? And no, after 6 months, no one has any idea, including the players and the coach. Have any idea what's going
to
happen?
All right, we might have found some evidence as to what Rob Gronkowski's plan is next. We will get to that right after John Wallach's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady Field, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play. Brady stands and lobs the throw to Gronkowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch.
Brady takes the snap.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Fires down the middle. Throw to Gronkowski.
Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, six-time champion.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you all out and clear.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And I think later on, and this is just my own assessment, later on deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape. And he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back.
Dude, that is just so specific. Like, I mean, when he first said that, I thought it was... Now, that would never happen.
No, he knows something.
But Willie McGinnis is so close to the Kraft family. And on top of that, it's so random a theory that he's got to know something. Now, if I'm Rob Gronkowski, you just stay retired. Just stay retired. Enjoy life. Do it. I mean, you read all of the stuff that's been coming out about just how banged up the guy is. I mean, you saw it all. I see. You don't need to read anything. It just, the guy was hobbled and he was beaten up. However, he had that brief several games of looking a little bit like the old Rob Gronkowski during the playoffs. And when they needed him, they got him. And you said it, Adam, is that, you know, that the one touchdown of the game was set up by that amazing play by Rob Gronkowski. You know, obviously he got a lot of credit for how well he blocked during the postseason. I mean, in he looked like 80% Gronk. During the postseason.
At the end of the year? Yeah. Oh, for sure.
At the end of the year, he looked like 80% Gronk.
Think about all they had to do just to get him to that point, though.
You're right. And you know what? He was miserable during that time.
Yeah.
Because we had, Ted, when Ted Johnson was in studio, you know, he was telling me about one of the worst things about being an athlete is not being able to tell people what injuries you actually have. Whereas people just think that you've lost it or that you suck.
If you do, all your teammates are like, what are you doing? You're making excuses. You're doing this. You're doing that. Yeah, you have to come out and you have to say, no, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I mean, that has to be a tough thing, yeah.
So think of Rob Gronkowski and what he was playing through this year and how everyone just thought he sucked. It was always like, dude, I can't walk. As I mentioned, you know, after the Super Bowl, he was supposed to be on Jimmy Fallon like the next day, and he couldn't even get out of bed. And Tommy Curran had a really cool, not cool, it was a very interesting one-on-one with Rob Gronkowski after the Super Bowl where he walked up to him, and Rob Gronkowski was like still changing and goes, here, you got to touch my thigh here. Look at this bruise. And he like touched it and he goes, look at this big welt that
it's
I've got.
It's all like swollen out.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like massive. And he goes, and Tommy Curran was like, oh my God. He goes, is that the worst you've ever had? And he goes, no, this happens all the time. And it's one of those things where, you know, he just, after these games, he would basically throughout the week just try to get better to be a shell of himself to go back out in the field to be used as either a decoy, because they knew that the game plan probably wasn't going to revolve around Gronk, and it rarely did in the beginning of the season. It was just get him out there, make him look the part, and hopefully that would help the team. That Willie McGinnis thing is so specific and weird. Now,
yeah, especially listening to it after you know Gronk is retired, it does seem probably more informed than I was giving it credit for at the time, because I really thought he was just flinging crap around. Yep. That's really what I thought at the time, but listening to it now, I'll give you that. It sounds like a little more informed.
And now there's this. This morning, John Wallach said that Drew Rosenhaus, the agent of Rob Gronkowski, sat down with, was it MMQB?
Peter King, yeah, MMQB, and Mike Giardi just tweeted it. Drew Rosenhaus did not rule out a potential return of his client sometime during the season.
Okay, well, I mean,
this is what Drew Rosenhaus
in your karate gi, like you're 12 years old.
No, but I mean, this is what we were talking about before. That says to me that Gronk is certainly thinking about it. If, you know, he's going to let his body heal completely, or as completely as it can be after all these years of abuse, and then see where he is in November. And if he feels fine in November, a phone call will be made, and he comes back.
Well, don't you think a lot of it also has to do with how well the team looks and how well the team is playing?
Do you think they're okay with him doing all this other stuff in the meet? Like, let's say he does wrestling and he signs a contract. Like, that to me would be kind of a telltale sign that he's done. You know, like, are the Patriots going to be okay with him doing all that and then coming back, and then he's still got that going on the side? Like, I think if he's thinking about coming back, or there's some kind of wink, nod, handshake, go do your thing for, you know, 10 weeks of the regular season and then come back, I have a hard time believing that the wrestling thing specifically, where he could go into the ring and get himself hurt, I have a hard time believing they're okay with that.
Well, let's get to Mike Giardi. So Mike Giardi speculated as to, well, he actually had heard that Rob Gronkowski had already signed some sort of TV contract before the Super Bowl, and here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, what I'm being told is that prior to the Super Bowl, he signed a deal or agreed to a deal with a television movie company for his future, so that perhaps, as you know, within weeks of the Super Bowl prior to that, he felt like he was going to walk away from this, Mike, and that what I was told was there might have been a 10% chance that the door was open. And that 10% chance was Tom Brady walking through that door saying, hey, Rob, give me one more, pretty please.
Okay. All right. So, with all this stuff lining up, it does seem to contradict. Like, you're right. If you are the Patriots and there's a wink-wink agreement that we are going to ask you to come back in week 10 or somewhere around there for the end of the season, yeah, do you think that they would be cool with him doing things with the WWE? It depends on what level you're doing things for the WWE as well. I mean,
that's fair, because he's done some things on the side.
Didn't Ronda Rousey, when she first signed on with WWE, not a lot of wrestling, just a lot of standing in the ring.
Yeah, she did like a lot of like promos and stuff.
Something like that for Gronk. I don't think the Patriots have any trouble with that.
I would agree. If it's something like that, I would agree, yeah.
Well, I think that, and I've said it before, if you are going to, indeed, if he did sign a contract with the WWE, and that's the contract that Mike Giardi is saying, tonight's the night to launch it. You're in Boston.
Yeah.
It's the
100%.
It's a 24-hour news cycle. I mean, this news is fresh. It's still the biggest story in sports today,
and
is Rob Gronkowski. And the WWE is like, this is a perfect time to announce the world.
Well, and it helps us answer the why now, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting here going, well, why now? Why drag it out and why do all the, like, well, the perfect answer to why now. Monday Night Raw's in Boston. He's right in the middle of the news cycle, like crossover from just the sports world. Like, he's in the middle of the news cycle.
Sure.
So Yeah, that would help answer why now, for sure.
And if he did sign that contract and knew he was going to retire, that means the Patriots knew that he was going to retire. And as a solid, they were like, we're not going to say anything. We're going to let you announce it. And the WWE and he got together and were like, this is the best time to launch you, man. If you want this to be a successful career, you announce it the day before WWE in Boston, 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I mean, if you want the biggest pop, you're picking the perfect day to do it. And we're going to have Elias, who's going to be at Raw tonight. Well, one of the wrestlers there. And we'll ask him about it as
he'll
well.
He'll tell us everything.
He'll tell us everything. But at least we can ask him. So we'll see.
Right.
He'll be on at 8:30. And we'll get to all your calls in just a second. 617-779-09.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The season's, grind, so it's up and down. I mean, I'm not going to lie and sit here and say every week is the best. Not at all. I mean, you go up, you go down. You can take some serious hits. I mean, to tell you the truth, just try imagine getting hit all the time and trying to be where you want to be every day in life. It's tough. It's difficult. I mean, to take hits to the thigh, take hits to your head. Abusing your body isn't what your brain wants. So it can, when your body's abused, it can bring down your mood. You got to be able to deal with that too throughout the season. You got to be able to deal with that going in the games, and no one realizes that, and everyone expects us players to be wide awake every single day. And it's like, I just took 50 hits to my head, or like, you're not to my head, but I'm saying I just took 50 collisions, and then like the next day everyone wants you to be up. They want practice full speed. Next week they want the game to be full speed, but they don't understand sometimes what players are going through with their bodies, with their minds. And that's why I would say you see a shift in players in games where people are down the whole game, and then you see all of a sudden next week it's like, how did this team just go from one switch to the other?
That is the most lucid thing I've ever heard Rob Gronkowski say. And I think at that moment when he said that during Super Bowl week, I think that was when everyone went, all right, well, he might be done. That was the first real indication where, I mean, except for the talk at the end of last season when someone asked him about retiring and he goes, who told you about that?
Yep.
This is the first time where it was just like, dude, this guy's really, really, really hurting. And the thing that keeps coming back to me is how strange the Willie McGinnis thing sounds now. You said it best. Hearing it now that he's retired, it's strange. Also, all the talk about him possibly announcing that he's going to be wrestling because Mike Giardi said he had signed a contract with some sort of TV or film studio before the end of the Super Bowl. Now you've got a guy by the name of Dash Wilder. Okay, if you are a wrestlehead, I need to know who the hell this Dash
Apparently,
Wilder guy is.
Apparently, I have. He's part of a tag team called the Revival, which are very, very good.
I don't
popular.
Yeah, but I mean, should I take this guy seriously?
The biggest nerd on the planet.
No. 617-779-0985. Okay, Bird's about to get on the mic. So Dash Wilder, who's got
tag team champion with the Revival.
I got that right.
He's got the most kick-ass 80s hair metal rocker name, Dash Wilder. And he tweeted out last night, we'll probably face Rob Gronkowski and Mojo at Mania. Now, Mojo is Mojo Rawley, who is his friend. And Rob Gronkowski and him have been friends for a while now. Rob Gronkowski has helped him out at WrestleMania, has done all this stuff. But Dash Wilder seems to think that Rob Gronkowski is indeed going to be wrestling. Now, should we take him seriously, or is he known for shenanigans, or is his character...
He can be a troll.
Okay.
Yeah. Can be a troll.
That tag team match is not happening. Do I see Gronk show up at WrestleMania? Yes, in some way, shape, or form. Absolutely.
Well, why wouldn't he?
It's
just for a one show paycheck, why wouldn't you show up at WrestleMania?
If you don't have to wrestle, just show up.
Just
and start
show
talking.
Up. Or one of the fake wrestling things.
What was he at with Mojo Rawley a few years ago? What was that?
WrestleMania, wasn't it?
Was it?
I thought it was a WrestleMania. I know it was at some massive stadium.
Yeah.
So it was either SummerSlam or WrestleMania or one of those big ones.
Maybe SummerSlam.
It could be. But, yeah, so now you've got a member of the actual WWE, so we'll probably face Rob Gronkowski and Mojo at Mania. Let's go to Mike on line one. Mike, what's up? You're on Toucher and Rich.
If Gronk decides that he's going to wrestle, what's his finishing move going to be?
The Gronk spike's the easy, lame one. But, I mean, there's got to be a better one out there.
Yeah.
Like you put him to sleep with a Yo Soy Siesta. Possibly.
That's inspired. That's really good.
I'm trying to think if there's any other good one.
The Yo Soy Siesta.
That's really good. Like the, how about what do you call it? The 86 somebody? The 86 69er?
Yeah. It's got to be something.
The 60, yeah, I mean, maybe something like that.
It's got to be something 69 related. I'll be very disappointed if it's not 69 related. Let me put it to you like that.
It would have to be. That's a decent question. What would his finishing move be? See, I think he's just going to be one of those
Gronk spike. Why overthink it?
I think he's going to show up and do a lot of talking, and then all of a sudden things are going to get chaotic, and it's going to be one of those deals where he holds out an arm and the guy runs into his arm.
Yeah, clothesline.
It's going to be like Stallone in the last Rambo movie, where he's like, "I'll show up, but I don't want to do anything physical.
Yeah,
just put me behind a big gun. Let him just run up to me, and I'll shoot him. I'll just stand there and shoot him.
Hold him down.
He killed the main bad guy in that movie by hiding behind a tree and waiting for the bad guy to run by the tree, and he just stuck out his arm and stabbed him. Like, literally zero physical activity for Rambo in that last movie.
Kind of happened in the first Rambo, didn't it? Wasn't he kind
of... No, he shot the dude with the explosive arrow, which was one of the best death scenes of any action movie ever.
No, he did some hiding behind trees and stabbed. It wasn't the main bad guy. I didn't represent that very well. He did some hiding behind trees and stabbing people when they
ran
by.
That was the second one, right?
That was Rambo. Yeah, it was Rambo. Remember, all you saw was the eye. Yeah,
no,
the
that
mud.
Wasn't First Blood.
First Blood's the first one. Yeah. Rambo's the second one. Okay. And then it was Rambo 3, which makes no sense because it would have been First Blood 3, not Rambo 3. That was the dumbest name movie.
Right.
But yeah. So we killed the bad guy with the big explosive arrow and blew the dude up. Like, that's one of the best action death scenes ever for a bad guy.
Yeah, now he's mailing it.
Oh, there was a movie. Oh, what was the one where Gene Simmons was the bad guy? He was in Runaway.
That's
with
Tom Selleck. Yeah.
But there's another one called A Wanted Dead or Alive with Rucker Hauer.
Okay.
And that might be one of my all-time favorite bad guy death scenes. So Gene Simmons, of course, is a horrible actor, and he's not even that bad of a bad guy. But Rucker Hauer, I guess, is a bounty hunter. And so there's this scene where he finally gets Gene Simmons, who apparently has killed all of his family and all this stuff. So he shoves a grenade into Gene Simmons' mouth, and all these police are around him. He's like, "Don't do it, man, don't do it." And one guy goes, "Remember, if you return him alive, you get the bonus." And he looks at Gene Simmons with a grenade in his mouth, and he goes, "Blank the bonus," and pulls the pin and just walks away. And Gene Simmons' head just blows off. And I was like, all right, that's an all right bad guy death scene. That's a pretty good one.
Good scene.
Yeah, not quite as good as that. But Rob Gronkowski.
The old wine and dine. That should be his move. The old wine and dine.
Somebody said instead of the DDT, he does the DTF. It's not a bad one.
He has to be in Zubaz, right? That has to be. That has to be his outfit.
Oh, sure. I mean, but then again, that's just like rolling out of bed.
Yeah,
and showing
no, I'm
up to
saying,
work.
But that's just you know, it's new fresh pair of Zubaz.
I think that might end up being his deal. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll continue to take your calls, and also remember, speaking of the WWE, we'll have Elias, who's going to be at the TD Garden tonight. Maybe where Rob Gronkowski makes his big announcement that he'll be wrestling. We will see. We will talk to him about it and other things as well. And no commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you could have a superpower, what would that one superpower be?
Man, like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We could build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Tom Puffs, he throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand.
just shy of the goal line.
Are you kidding me? It's the play of the year.
Oh, my.
It is the play of the year.
This play action of Brady across the middle. Has Gronkowski slips out of the tackle. And down the field he goes. Gronkowski to the end zone for the touchdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. The Real Night at 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you could have a superpower, what would that one superpower be?
Man, this is like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We could build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Dobbs, he throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand. Just shy of the goal line.
Are you kidding me? It's the play of the year.
Oh, my.
It is the play of the year.
This play action of Brady across the middle. Has Gronkowski slips out of the tackle. And down the field he goes. Gronkowski to the end zone for the touchdown.
An acrobatic play. And a catch to the Denver one.
Freak show.
Boston. Who's getting wild tonight? Gronkowski makes the grab at the 20, spins away from the defender, stiff arms another, carries across the 15, to the 10, to the 5, Gronk leaps to the end zone, touchdown Patriot!
Beast mode, can't stop him!
Hola, mi amo Roberto. Yo soy Fiesta.
And there's only one thing you can deflate.
These nuts!
Takes the step, runs across the middle, he's pressured, goes to the end zone for Gronkowski, touchdown! Two-point game with 12 seconds to go.
How does he stay in bounds?
Here's Brady over the top. Open is Gronkowski. He gets away, and he has it inside the 20. They're not going to catch him. 76 yards to Gronk. Brady throws. He's got Gronkowski.
One more. I got 69 touchdowns. You know what I mean.
Gronkowski makes the grab left feet. Stiff arms the defender at the 25. Step three at the 20. Drive to the 15, 10. Gronkowski dives to the goal line. His third touchdown.
Beast mode. Protein bars for everybody. Energy, energy. This guy's amped up, man.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Yo soy Fiesta.
Ready, dropping back, looking to throw. Tom's going to throw for the back of the end zone, left corner. And that ball is going to be caught. Diving receiver, Rob Gronkowski. Touchdown, Patriots.
Gronkowski, a first down.
A little nutcracker, dude. That's guarding the house.
The nutcracker, dude. Do you remember where that was from?
No. So I was just going to ask you. I don't remember.
Oh, that was a game in London, right?
Yeah, that was. Remember when he scored in London?
When he did the.
He's talking about one of the beef eaters.
Yeah.
Guarding Buckingham Palace. It's one of the little nutcracker dudes guarding the house.
Yep.
Just awesome.
That wouldn't be a bad wrestling. That would be a bad wrestling move, right? If he brought that back,
right? Or there was just a character that was just a beef eater. It was so much fun going through early Rob Gronkowski clips. I mean, you know, the 9 years, as I said, before he showed up, that locker room was like a prison. There was no personality coming out of there. Everyone seemed scared to talk. And here comes this guy who just can say whatever he wants. And Bill Belichick let him because he was just that good.
So that's a good question. So he's clearly the biggest personality they've had come through, right?
I can't think of anyone bigger than Rob Gronkowski.
Right? I mean, and you brought up Tlaib. That's a good one. I mean, you guys had Merriweather, of course.
Merriweather at the time was not. It was after he was done.
So he's a guy. I don't know.
Who was bigger? Who before Gronk? Who would have been considered a big
there
personality?
There was one guy who tried to be a big personality and got cut off at the knees real quick. Remember Ellis Hobbs? He tried really hard at the start, and then Rodney Harrison, who had a locker a couple down from him, said basically, shut up, kid.
And that was the end of him.
Yeah, well, Matt Light was a good personality. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Vrabel was pretty good, too, but no one was Gronk. I mean, Gronk was just...
Right.
Once again, I was going through clips, and I've listened to a couple of them, and I'm like, I can't believe he said that. Here's Rob Gronkowski. I totally forgot about this. This is, I think, Steve Burton that Rob Gronkowski sat down with after a game.
We're a Rob Gronkowski, the sexiest man on the New England Patriots, and he dared me to say that. And nothing about the sexiest man on the team.
We got to give that to one of the linemen today. All the linemen are sexy. They got that sexy body and everything. So they played a great job. They're the ones who should get laid tonight, those linemen.
All right. Big guy.
Okay, back to you.
Someone speaking like a normal human being in front of me. I can't take it.
Did we dump that? Dump it.
All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, good morning, guys. Taking eggs.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey, we all know that Gronk's not going to be a full-time wrestler. He's going to make appearances, especially on the East Coast, up and down the East Coast, and probably send him to L.A. just to crap on the Rams.
I mean, listen, there's a different levels of people in the WWE. You know, you saw what happened. There's the true superstars of wrestling, you know, like Elias, who's going to be coming in. And, you know, guys like, you know, John Cena, you know, back in the day, John Cena's a little bit more of the second type. And that is the ones who show up kind of like Ronda Rousey, have the type of contracts, they make appearances, and they don't quite wrestle as much. And I'm thinking Rob Gronkowski is going to kind of get the Ronda Rousey treatment. I don't know how much you get paid to do that. It seems like it was, you know, if he announces it tonight, then it would be worth it for him. I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be more people watching the WWE tonight in Boston than probably have ever watched it. Like, everyone's going to be tuning in just to see whether or not this is the night Rob Gronk, because it all makes sense. If indeed he's going into wrestling, the timing is perfect for him to go into the ring tonight and announce that he's going to be at WrestleMania in a couple of weeks and do it in front of a Boston crowd. I mean, you want to launch your wrestling career, this is the way to do it.
And it's a company that knows how to do it, right? And if you're going to capitalize on buzz, this would be the perfect time and the perfect place to do it. And as we said earlier, it would help explain the why now part of the Gronk discussion. Like, why is he just retiring now? Well,
because it was the day before WrestleMania.
Maybe it lines up well with this announcement.
Before Raw. Let's go to Bob, line two. What's up, Bob? You're on Toucher and Rich. Bob.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. I worked for the WWE back when I was like 13, 14 years old.
Hang on. How did you work for the WWE when you were 13?
My sister and my brother-in-law and her husband worked to help them out. And
doesn't that break like all sorts of labor laws? Don't you got to be like?
Then I was helping out. I was setting up the ring, doing stuff like that. I worked for a guy named Jack. He was short. He looked like Bozo the Clown.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me.
I like the story already.
I believe it. All right, go ahead, Bob.
And he worked on Danny Davis. He used to work for WCW. He became a wrestler in WWF back then, and was a referee. I got to meet George the Animal Steele.
Okay, just quickly to your point about Rob Gronkowski.
And everything is choreographed. Rob's been in contact with him for a while now, because if he shows up on Monday Night Raw, and that's what they want him to do, they practice it a lot.
Okay, so you set up the ring when you were 13. So there's a 13-year-old in charge of setting up the ring for the wrestlers.
I feel safer already.
I helped out. I brought the turnbuckles over, stuff, a little minor work.
Excellent. So what else do they have you do as a 13-year-old for the WWE?
I'm just trying to get them coffee, get them drinks, and I was paid $5 for the day. They took me out for lunch, and I got to sit behind the curtains in the locker room area.
Oh, that's cool. So they took you out for lunch, like the wrestlers?
No, the guy that was in charge of the ring. We did the whole auditorium back then.
Jack, the short guy who looked like Bozo the Clown.
Yeah, and it was just right after Vince's dad passed away, and Vince took over the WWF.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, any other phenomenal memories from when you were there?
No, just I went in the ring and with a broom and cleaned out the ring after George bit the turnbuckle.
All right. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Whatever happened to the man who was short and looked like Bozo the Clown? He became Doink.
Doink. Yeah, could be.
He ended up becoming Doink.
Who were the other ones?
George the Animal Steel?
No. Weren't there other? Yeah, right. Who? There were a few. There were a few other guys.
Maybe other clowns?
Oh, yeah, I thought there were.
A Doink and Dink. That's right. All right, let's go to Raul on line 6. What's up, Raul? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to know what happens to Rob Gronkowski's salary cap number. Are we going to get relief for that?
Oh, boy. I don't even want to get into that. Okay. And here's why. Because we tried to break all this down earlier, and it'll just make your head explode. Just know that if they want to bring him back after Week 10 or whatever, if you subscribe to what Willie McGinnis is selling, and that's that he can retire and he can come back when he's well-rested later on in the season, it's going to happen. They're going to make it happen. So don't even worry about the salary cap and all of that right now.
Right.
Trust me. It's, you know, I don't want to say the cap is crap, but they're going to figure out a way to make it all work.
The short answer is, if he's actually retired, yes, they get cap relief. If he's playing at any point this year, no. Then they're going to have to pay him a salary.
Okay.
So you know, or at least against the cap, it's going to count against the cap, maybe is the better way of phrasing that.
So we just said, this dude is full of it. I'm friends with the ring manager, the former timekeeper, and a production guy. That would never happen outside local promotions. All right, well, see, I was all in on the guy. I don't know what you were thinking. Yeah. I don't know. You're calling Jack a liar? Story sounded solid to me.
Come on.
Kelly, what's up? You're on Toucher and Rich, line 5.
Hello?
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. Rob Gronkowski's movie career, he should forget about wrestling because the way I look at it, he could probably replace Brendan Fraser in Hollywood, remake anything that he made in Hollywood, you know, like the Encino Man 2. Or probably keep that movie, the Mummy series going. Maybe Brendan Fraser been in. I think Rob Kelly would be a better replacement in that area.
Just remake all of Brendan Fraser's career, the whole catalog.
Bird, did you just call all of your friends to come on the show this morning?
Yeah, you know, the scout.
There's a full moon out. We've got some all-stars. I want, what was the name of the dude who was 13 and worked for the WWE? I want that guy to call in again. I had thoroughly enjoyed him. Someone said, this guy swept the ring at the Lowell Auditorium, which clearly means he worked for the WWE. Similarly, I once picked up a piece of trash at Gillette, so I worked for the Patriots. I believe him. 617-779-0985. We're about 15 minutes away from Elias. For the WWE in studio, we will ask him, obviously, about Rob Gronkowski and also preview what's going to be happening at tonight's Raw, which I believe will be one of the highest rated local Raws ever, because everyone wants to know whether or not this is going to be where Rob Gronkowski, it would make sense, where this Rob Gronkowski is, where Rob Gronkowski announces that he is indeed going into wrestling, because according to Mike Giardi, Rob Gronkowski signed some sort of entertainment contract with some company before the Super Bowl. We will get to all that and more right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.